Welcome to Core Nourishment. I'm Annie Wagner, your host. This podcast is designed to empower, inspire, ignite presence, purpose, and intention in your day. Welcome back to the Core Nourishment podcast. This is Annie Wagner, your host. Thank you so much for being here, for tuning in and sharing my pod with friends and family. It means the world to me. If you haven't already done so, if you wouldn't mind just taking a quick second and heading on over to Apple Podcasts and offering a rating and a review, I would so appreciate it. And if you are interested in being a guest, please reach out. I would love to hear from you. You can find me at anniewagoner.com or on Instagram at Core Nourishment. So we're at episode 62, and I had such a tremendous opportunity to receive a biofield tuning session with my dear friend Irene Sorois. She is such a magnificent force of goodness in this world with her big heart, creativity, and healing gifts. And not only does she pour her love and messages into metal as a jewelry designer in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, she is also an energy healer, Reiki master, and biofield tuning practitioner. So right after I had the opportunity to receive this powerful healing session with her, we then got to dive into conversation together. And in this episode, Irene talks about the importance of community and connection, her love of writing and art, what led her to biofield tuning, and stepping more fully into her purpose and playfulness. She opens up about fear, shame, playing small. We talk about the dance between masculine and feminine energies within. And she shares about learning how to slow down and trust herself, her strengths, and her brilliance. Irene's authenticity and realness are so beautiful. Tune in and enjoy experiencing her energy, story, and wisdom. And if you're interested in reaching out to her directly, you can email her at sorois.irene@gmail.com, which will also be in the show notes. Enjoy. Here we are.
It's exciting.
I know. It's so great. Thank you so much for having me in your beautiful home, too.
You're so welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I know. I love doing this. And in person feels like such a gift, such a treat. So
I agree.
Yeah. So tell me, Irene, what is like nourishing your soul and lighting you up right now?
I just have to say right this moment, because I'm here with you, I think the friendships that I have right now in my life are just so spectacular. Mm. Yeah. You know, after the whole COVID thing and then just starting to kind of get back into getting together with people feels really good.
Yeah.
Feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That feels so nourishing and important, like to create that space and time for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like we're in this time right now that community is so important. And I've really been searching for that sense of community and kind of feeling it out different places over the last few years. I've been kind of like just, okay, is this it or is this it? Mm-hmm. And not really finding it and then realizing, oh, it's, you know, people that I have known and then maybe new people coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that feels really good right now.
I know, I'm smiling right now. I mean, thinking about last time I was here, which was a while ago, but when we were in our little book group together and that sacred community we created during that time and holding it in one another's homes and around like also just such rich, like delicious, nourishing food and just the connection felt so... Yeah, just so beautiful and natural. And I'm smiling because although we haven't actually had a book club in a long time or haven't had that, I'm still connected with each one of you in a different way. And even if it's been months, I feel like we can pick up where we left off. And that's amazing. So
yeah, that makes me smile too.
Yeah.
Because I went back and I've been listening to all your podcasts.
Thank you.
Shelly, Kara, Carly. Everybody.
Oh my gosh, I just love it.
Yeah. And I'm like, wow, this is like a blast from the past.
And then you were so beautiful. You were wonderful. You shared some of your writing and sent a poem a few weeks ago to all of us. And it was such a treat to open up my email and see that, those messages, and just to feel everyone's warmth. And it made me wonder, like, gosh, what is everyone up to right now? You know, yeah. Some I've stayed more in touch with than others. So, but yeah.
Yeah. So that when I had completely forgot that I sent you guys that poem and, yeah, so that lights me up. Like, I had a dream. I sat down to write about it, to journal about it. And that poem just, like, popped out of nowhere.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. And I was like, where'd that come from? And immediately I thought of you guys, like, oh, I'm going to share this with... And I didn't even hesitate. I just did it.
Oh, I love that.
And it felt so good. Mm. Yeah, so that is just beautiful.
Yeah. And a gift from your heart. It was so heart opening. It was like, oh gosh. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Do you like to write? Is that something you do often?
So funny we're going down this path.
where is Annie going to take us?
So no, I mean that I wrote poems when I was very young and really enjoyed it when we were like, when you learn how to do it in school. Mm-hmm. And then maybe a little bit as a, you know, just sprinkled out throughout my life. But this was the first poem I've written in many, many years. Yeah. And it just came out of nowhere, which was really cool.
Does it have you thinking about wanting to write more? Or was it just like, just a momentary, like, okay,
boom. No, it did. It felt really good. Like I should be journaling more because that's what comes out.
Yeah.
And I do. The reason I said this was funny because, probably about 5 years ago, I started writing a book.
Started writing a book?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Irene, that's amazing.
It started out as a gift. So I made a piece of jewelry for my daughter. And I made a story around it. It's called The Treacher, which is a tree creature.
Oh.
And it's a story about how he came to be. And I just made it a short story for her. It was a Christmas tree ornament. And then I started thinking about the story, and it's in my brain, like the backstory of the treacher. And you know, so I started writing it. I did a writing group at Portsmouth Library for a while.
Oh, awesome.
And I started writing it there. And then, my dad got sick and died. So I just stopped writing.
Yeah.
And then I just never got back to it. But now that I'm working less and have a little bit more free time, it's something that's on my radar.
Mm.
So it's funny that you brought that up.
Feeding that creative part of you more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More, I don't know. There's something about sharing it. Mm. I have this cool story I want to tell you.
Yeah. Well, I'm piqued. You've piqued my interest. I'm like, oh, treacher. I want to, I'm like imagining my own like visualization of what a treacher looks like. But I'm already curious. Oh, what is the story of the treacher? What is the backstory? So yeah, I love it.
I could tell it to you if you wanted to hear it.
If you want to, we could talk about the tree chair for a moment.
How does that feel? I'm just feeling into it to see if it's
something. It feels playful, which is inviting us either to like, we can just like, right now I'm just thinking like, I'm just enjoying the playfulness.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have to go to the backstory. I think when you write the book, I'm going to have you back on the podcast and you can share about the tree chair. Yeah,
that feels really good.
Okay. All right. There's the invitation. And no pressure.
No, it's good. I need a little push to get me to pull it back up on the computer and start writing.
Yeah. No, I love... So playfulness is a part of your energy that I've always been drawn to, Irene, and something that I felt right away when I first met you. So again, I'm feeling grateful right now for being in your space and feeling your playfulness. So thank you for sharing and sharing about your teacher and your future book.
Thank you.
Yeah. So about creativity, you just kind of planted the seed out there for listeners that you are working less. Mm-hmm. And I want to share that I had such the tremendous gift of receiving your gift of biofield tuning this morning. And that sound healing, I'm calling it sound healing because I'm a very musical person, and I was like very in touch with the tones and the, and then where I felt that sound, the vibration in my body. It was just so, such a gift. So can we go there?
Yes, okay. Please.
Okay. So you're working less, to create space for this new venture.
Yeah.
What led you to biofield tuning? And actually, what is biofield tuning for listeners out there? I know what it is, but.
So biofield tuning is using tuning forks to tune into the energy that's in your aura or your biofield, same thing. So, it's just tuning in and seeing if there's something that, like maybe you can't clean out your closet for whatever reason. It might be just a little disturbance in your field. Mm. And sometimes if the tuning fork hits that little disturbance that's in your field, it'll vibrate at that disturbance so that it in tunes with that. So when your body hears that, it says, oh, I didn't even know that was out there.
Yeah.
And then that sound is then pulled, comb it through your field and bring it into your central channel, and then homeostasis. Mm. So you can, that disturbance just becomes part of you. We don't get rid of anything. All of those feelings, and essentially they're feelings, all those feelings, disturbances, they're part of you. That's who you are. But just to make your body aware, oh, my shoulder's hurting. You know, maybe it's something out here.
And like allowing yourself to receive it, mm-hmm. and integrate versus push it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just paying attention. It just wants attention.
Yeah.
It just wants you to say, oh, yeah. Yeah. Give me. Oh, I see you there. Like, yeah. When you were five, you know, something happened that hurt and you couldn't express it. You're mm-hmm. five. So the tuning fork hits that. And you're able to, and just, be aware of it and clear it, essentially.
Yeah. It was powerful. I felt some big clearing happening today.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, your energy, I don't know if you want to talk about that, but your energy is fabulous. When you release, it's like,
I feel it. Thank you. I guess. Thank you. Thank you, Irene.
You're welcome.
That was cool too. I think because again, I've heard about biofield tuning. I hadn't had the opportunity to receive it in this way, and it was really incredible to also feel your connection in it. Like, you were wonderful because you were sharing out loud like what was coming to you. But I felt that when you were like, oh, wow. Okay. Boom. Like, you know, just, and I was like, okay. It was kind of validating. Like, all right. And you know, the little part of me that's like, am I doing this right? And then you were like, Annie, drop out of your head. But it is, it's so funny to like catch all those moments in the experience. So,
Yeah. I think what I love about the work, and obviously this is lighting me up, the biofield tuning.
You can feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that I love about the work is the connect, like it gives you permission to say, hey, this is what I'm noticing about you. Let's look at it together. Mm-hmm. And that just feels so validating for not only you receiving the work, but me, that what I'm tuning into is real and, you know, authentic. And, you know, it's so validating for someone to say, oh, yeah. Because we all day long, we interact with people and we can feel what's going on with them. But for whatever reason, we're taught to kind of deny that or like, oh, look the other way. But so this puts me into a position where I can say, yeah, I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you create a really safe container for that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful work.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, like, I'm trying to, like, figure out all the logistics, like, we were just talking about, like, you know, the going on social media. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to connect with people on a personal level, you know, so I just want to find the people. It's work that's needed. And I'm just so grateful to live in this time that people are like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. And I have the utmost respect for you in that. Thank you. Because that's coming from your authentic self and it needs to, you know, and I'm feeling that from you. It's like, no, you so deeply want to connect with people in person and have that. Be able to, that ability to create the sacred container that you want to and meet people where they're at. It's, and I think that's, I applaud that. And so,
thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. So tell me, excuse me, I'm clearing my throat. how, like, what led you to discover biofield tuning and then to want to study it and become a practitioner?
I guess, it started way back when I first had my first energy healing from Kara. Oh, Breeze, wow. Such a sweetie. I felt it was an interesting feeling, but it was like a mouse. She's doing the healing, and a mouse ran right across my waist. It was like, whoop, whoa, okay, there's something to this.
Yeah.
And so then I just got interested. I started doing regularly. I do Kundalini every morning, which, you know, taps me into myself. I did Reiki. I learned how to do, I'm a Reiki master, so I learned how to do that. And then I started volunteering at the hospital. And after being in a career that I'm a jeweler, I sit at the bench all day all by myself. You know, I interact with customers, which is one of my favorite things to do too. But being alone and then all of a sudden going into the hospital and sitting with patients doing Reiki, I realized, wow, this is powerful work.
Mm.
And I hesitate to say this, but I have a gift for it.
You do.
Thank you. But it's really hard to, or it's getting easier, I'll say. It's getting easier to put that out there and say that.
I so appreciate you even acknowledging that piece. I mean, I...
Thank you.
Yeah, it is hard in our society to, like, where's that line of... Yeah. But being able to, like, powerfully own it, you know?
Yeah.
Because you do. You have a tremendous gift. And
thank
there's...
You.
Yeah, that's... That's actually, like, I'm just thinking, like, how powerful it is that you're putting that out there and owning it.
So the interesting thing is, as we're talking about it, I think to myself, well, why is it so hard to do that? And it's because I'm fearful that someone's going to come and say, you know, charlatan or whatever, whatever the phrase would be.
The judgment.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that. And by being afraid of that, it makes me hide my gift. And this is the time that the world really needs it.
Mm.
Like, so desperately.
Yeah.
That, you know, I'm thinking about, oh my gosh, this could be so helpful for people with PTSD. So helpful for children that have a nervous tendency.
Mm.
So helpful for people that just need to relax. Because literally, if you lay down on the table and let the vibration go through you, it's relaxing.
Yeah. You asked me at the end, how are you feeling? I was like, so relaxed. Like, I was about to fall asleep. Yeah. Everyone needs that.
Yeah. And so to, you know, hide under a barrel because I'm afraid someone's going to judge me, you know, is not the right thing to do right now for where we are.
I so appreciate you sharing about that though, Irene, because I know I can relate to that. And,
yeah.
It's amazing how much we can, I think it's just part of being human, you know, yeah. we can get in our own way in that way. But to pull out and to remember, like, you're actually doing yourself and everyone around you a disservice by not stepping into your purpose yeah. and offering your gifts. Yeah. And almost like staying deeply connected in it, but kind of separating the fear, which is easier said than done, right?
Yeah.
But I just thank you for sharing openly about that. I imagine a lot of people can relate. So
yeah. Yeah, it has something to do with shame or, I don't know, like shame on you to be big.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big message.
Yeah.
I imagine, did you feel when you were growing up and you're like, when you think back in your life, was that a message that you embodied or took in that you have to
be small?
Be small.
Yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up in a male dominant atmosphere. So not that people didn't love me. My family loves me. But you get the message of, if you're not working really hard and doing really hard things, you're not important. That kind of went off though.
No, I think this is important. I don't think we went off. I actually think this is perfect because what's coming to me is, you know, masculine, feminine, which we all have, you know, no matter what we identify as our gender. But you grew up in what sounds like a lot of, not just because it was male dominant, but like just a lot of masculine energy.
Yes.
And that this is the way, and this is the way to be successful and how we must show up.
Yep.
So here you are years later, really leaning into your gifts and like softening in a different way, but that also feels uncomfortable and that can be scary. And then, and then how can you show up big in that? I'm just rambling.
No,
you know, it's like, that's what's coming to me with this.
Yeah. And you're making a lot of sense to me with that because it is, I think you're right. And I go back to being a jeweler, like that was, this is my bread and butter. I'm going to do this. And still now I feel like a pull to make sure that I'm doing a good job at that. And, you know, that's, but at the same time, I need this space to open myself up to cultivate these gifts that I've found that have always been there. If I look back to my childhood, they've always been there. But now I'm like, oh, okay. I can open up and kind of breathe into it. And it feels good.
I love that. Breathe into it. Yeah. Yes. You get to nurture that part of you.
Yeah. And the more I do the work, the more, you know, when I do tunings on people, it's just such a gift. Like I literally at the end of a tuning, I'm like, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because it's a connection that I haven't had that deep, it's a source connection. Mm. And I just get this visual of being on a surface that's completely flat. It's almost like a lake that's has no disturbance on it.
Mm.
And the two of us, the person I'm doing the tuning on and myself, we're not people, but just, I don't know, energy that just comes together for a short time and co-creates something beautiful and then separates and goes our own way again. And it's just this very, beautiful.
Serene.
Yeah, serene. Yeah, that's a perfect
word. That's what's
coming
to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Serene. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you've allowed yourself to explore that depth of what's inside of you, you know? So, and again, I'm just going back to like how lit up you are in this.
Yeah.
You're living in your purpose.
Thank you.
Yeah. And it's like a new part of you that you get to allow to come alive.
Yeah.
So when you were little, in what way, like what parts of you from like little Irene are you reconnecting with that
that you said you felt like you felt these parts, but you didn't feel safe perhaps at that time to nurture them.
Let's see. Just being, I think, being with the energy. I remember just sitting, it's really hard to explain, just sitting and being with that energy. Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to.
No, it's okay if you can't articulate in words.
Yeah, it just,
a knowing. Just like a knowing.
Yeah. And just connect. It just like, it feels like a reconnection.
I love it.
Somehow.
Yeah.
But I can't describe it.
That's okay.
Undescribable.
Yes. That's perfect. It's amazing. I'm thinking about your vision. So going back to like, okay, there's that party that's scared, but clearly also ready to jump into this chapter. And I mean, just the fact that we're sitting here and you were, you know, I get to interview you and you're putting out to the world what you're doing. Like, tell me more about that expansive vision for this next chapter for you around, you know, whether it's connected to biofield tuning or even just more relaxation, more spaciousness for you.
Yeah. It's scary.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of moving parts, like deciding... I just have to stop for a minute and say how much I was thrown off by your question about going back to childhood. Mm. I'm just going to be like completely honest. There's something and I'm stuck there. So okay. I'm just going to breathe into that and see what that felt like. Like, cause there wasn't anything that spectacular that happened when I was a kid. I had a, I'm just feeling in to see if I want to say this. So, I had a traumatic capital T, childhood. Mm-hmm. So not sure that I want to dive into that here. So when you brought up, when you asked me that question, I was like,
I could sense a little bit of that. And I thank you for,
So, okay. So I just need to go back there and address that.
Thank you, Irene, for being so vulnerable to even just say that. Yeah. So, yeah. And my reframe would have been just like, I guess the part of you that sees and feels energy, you know, was there a moment that that you feel called to share? And if not, that's okay.
So just going back to that is being so in tune with other people's feelings put me in a very vulnerable space when I was little. So I was more concerned with other people being loved, because I knew I was strong enough. I believed, you know, as a 4-year-old that I was strong enough. I can take on this, but this person can't, even though the person was older. This is really good because this answers the question that you asked me. So I believe and still believe, I guess, which is kind of not what all therapists would say would be a good thing, but that the love I had to give, this person couldn't feel for themselves. So I was giving it, and it wasn't in a positive way, but it was what I was choosing to do at the time. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, if you want to go to the whole therapy thing, somebody would say, oh, that's, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But anyway, yeah. So that feeling that I had as a little kid that this person isn't feeling loved and there's something I can do to make them feel loved, put me in a very vulnerable position. And I think I ran from it.
Yeah.
And did, again, that masculine and not man, woman, but a masculine trait, which was shut down and don't look at that. Just, you know, work with metal.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to sit at my bench and work with metal and I have control over this. And exactly. That makes a lot of sense.
But at the same time, I did not realize that till this conversation. At the same time, it was safe enough for me to connect with people that wanted to show love to other people by making a piece of jewelry for them. What I do is custom jewelry. So when somebody comes in and says, I have this vision.
Oh, I love that.
I have this vision to show my love to this other person. I'm able to make that solid in a piece of jewelry.
That is freaking powerful, Irene. Yeah. Like, you're transmuting this love like into this sacred piece.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so beautiful. And I've always loved to do that. But now I understand. It's so interesting that, yeah, I never put that together till now.
Thank you. Thank you for your just complete honesty and willingness to kind of navigate that vulnerability and share.
Thank you. Mm. The whole back of my head feels like it's blown wide open.
So when I'm like, place my hands down on your head. Where's my hat? I'm kidding.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's powerful.
Maybe we want to take a deep breath.
Yeah. Thank you.
Maybe place your hand on your heart.
Yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
Wow. Who knew where your podcast will go?
Yes. It's amazing how these conversations flow and open up. And
yeah.
Thank you for just being here with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a safe space, right? Yeah. Safe space to share with everyone.
With the world. So it feels so weird too, right?
That's actually though the beauty of it, right? I mean, that's what we're talking about, that putting ourselves out there.
Not playing small and showing up just in our full expression.
Yeah.
The light, the dark, the heavy, the messy, the playful, the fun, the creative. And as long as, again, it does feel safe.
So,
And
their feelings, you know, the feelings that we have, they're not going to hurt us.
Yeah.
They're not able to hurt us anymore.
Very true statement.
But they can be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine you wrapping your arms around those feelings. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So if you wanted to go, if you could remember what the question was you asked me.
I know. So I was thinking about the word expand, like expansiveness for you in this, in this next chapter. So you've cut back on hours at the jewelry store to create more spaciousness for you. And yes, you're biofuel tuning and you offering that gift. And what else? I'm curious.
Oh my gosh, so many things. Well, like writing has come back into my head, like, oh, okay. And maybe doing some artwork, like just, you know, taking out a pencil and drawing. And I have a new relationship. So like playing into that is really fun. Like literally, I'm just not the person that has been like, day off, you know, do something fun. And my new partner is all about like, hey, got a day off. Let's go do something fun. Like last night we just went like, I'm like, okay, let's go for a walk. Beach or, you know, we go into the beach or the woods. And he's like, hey, why don't we go into Portsmouth and walk around there? And I'm like, wow. Oh, okay.
I hadn't even thought of that. I love it.
Yeah. And so, just being a tourist in our own town, so to speak. Yeah. So lots of that fun. I think fun.
cultivating fun and joy.
Yeah. And it feels so good to have the free time to do that.
Yeah.
And also doing the biofield tuning, not as a career, is so, it just gives me breathing room for it. Finding the right space to do it in. I checked out a couple places. I'm all about like, oh, am I going to do it here or there? You know, and just the right place showed up at Gentle Currents. Oh, and it's 5 minutes from the house, you know, and it just, yeah.
Really it all nice. Aligned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but no pressure. Like, you're not putting the pressure on yourself to like have to do this in a certain way. And because you need to make a certain amount of money, or exactly. It can just simply be like this beautiful gift from your heart that you get to offer others. That's very freeing.
Super freeing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think I've ever had that freedom.
How does it feel? Continuing to practice in this, like, I know it's kind of new, but like, how does it feel to receive that?
Scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, day by day, moment by moment, like, okay, how does this feel? And being really like, pause. That's the big word.
Mm.
I have to pause and see, how does this feel? Let me feel into it and just take a minute.
Versus like rushing into it.
Yeah, because I'm a doer.
You're a doer, I guess. Yep, yeah. Yeah, which is, you know, has provided you huge strength and, you know, purpose in so many ways. Yeah. And you get to say, hey, doer side, we're going to hit pause. And
Yeah. So just as we're talking about that, I'm going to go back for a minute and say, as I listen to your podcasts, I was noticing that a lot of the people on your podcast are the same doers. Gotta get this done. You know, and a lot of them, I don't know if they describe themselves as having ADHD, which I actually have been diagnosed with ADHD. I started to realize that I think the norm is to be in that doing. And if you want to call that ADHD, that's the norm. And for people to point and say, oh, you've got that, like, you know, busyness going on.
And to judge it.
Yeah. But I think it's abnormal. Well, you know, if you were going to say normal and abnormal.
Yeah.
I think it's more usual to have people that are like that go-getters rather than, or at least maybe that's the people I see and hear.
Yeah.
Because everybody feels like they're too busy.
Mm.
Anybody I talk to, I'm too busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But we do that to ourselves.
Oh my gosh. Completely. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, and I'm thinking back. I'm like, oh, wow. I have interviewed a lot of these people because that's me too, right? Like I definitely can relate to or identify with, I'm going to use the term hustle culture, but you know, I know how, at least with my upbringing and how I was brought up, you know, there was a lot of focus on like, you know, where are you going to school? What are you doing? What are you studying? You know, what sports are you like captaining? You know, like what are you going for? You know, and I'm not blaming anyone. It was just really the culture I grew up in and I've embodied that. And I find I am perhaps interviewing people like you because I am so curious about that and how I'm also super passionate about kind of shifting that paradigm, shifting that energy. It's a constant practice for myself as I catch myself doing and going. But it's also like not like trying to learn how to have grace with myself around that part of me and not judge it, as you said, and maybe just accept and then channel it differently, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Because
but
that's what I'm...
so true.
Well, I'm finding like this, I don't have anything planned. And then I find myself being like, I got to plan something.
Right, because it feels so uncomfortable to just not have something planned. Like, if I don't have something planned, I should, right? Like, yeah.
And then I start running around, and that's ADHD. When I don't have a plan, I start running around, like, doing, you know, stuff that doesn't accomplish anything, and I have to be accomplished on something, which I don't really, but
I that's what so my brain relate. Says. Yeah.
So if that's the norm, but we're trying to say it's not the norm, that then we're in trouble. Like, how about we say that's the norm for our society? And if we don't want it to be the norm, then we can do something about it. But if we keep pointing to ourselves and saying, oh, we're definitely not doing this right. But then everybody else is doing the same thing. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's such a good point. Right. Because everyone's just then going around pointing versus owning and moving with it and through it and befriending it and then shifting versus, you know, like,
and saying to ourselves, oh, okay, this is who we are and it's good. We're good. We're accomplishing things. And if we want to relax, then we can. But if we keep saying we're bad, then we're going to keep running around trying not to be bad. I don't know. It's just this weird
dynamic. It's interesting to the internal judgment and then the projection of other people judging. You know, it is a fascinating experience. And I agree. I do think most everyone I interact with are would say that they're in this kind of energy, you know, a lot. And so it is more to use the term norm. And I love witnessing people starting to question it or just starting within themselves, not to like play the victim in it or to blame, but just start to just notice it more and just to increase that awareness and then even the tolerance for it to then say, okay, I would like to feel this relaxed, you know, like I did today after my session with you more often. So what can I do to help cultivate that? So you mentioned Kundalini. What other practices support that part of you that wants, you know, to perhaps feel more relaxed and supports your nervous system?
Let's see. I think stopping, like we were just talking about, stopping the busyness, which, you know, can be difficult, but just taking a breather, surrounding myself with people that can tolerate hearing the truth. Especially older friends, you know, or people that have known you a long time, your family, your children, whoever. Once you start to shift like I'm doing, I'm becoming a different person. That can be uncomfortable for people. So, I just think that has to be, it gives me breathing room.
Yeah.
It allows me to breathe.
Yeah.
I've been holding my breath, you know, so to speak. You know, plugging through and trying to do what everybody else thinks. I'll rephrase that. Trying to do what I think everybody else wants me to do, which isn't necessarily true. So if I can stand in my truth and say to people, this is my truth, that person then has permission from me to do the same. They can stand in their truth.
That's huge.
Yeah. So doing that is hard. Especially with people that have known you to be, let's just say, and I'm not speaking of anybody in my, but if you are always a yes man, and then all of a sudden, or a woman, whatever, if you're a yes person, and then all of a sudden you're like, no.
And how that can throw. So like, wait, what? Like abrupt or throw people
and
off.
And it can make you feel when they have that reaction of like, what do you mean? Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'm losing my community. And if community is important to you, which it is important to everybody because it's survival, it's just a basic, that's my basic fear of like, and that's, I think, where shame comes from, right? We don't want to be, if we're ashamed of ourselves, it's because we think people aren't going to love us. And if we're not loved, we don't exist. People don't see us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was kind of a weird ramble.
But. Yeah. Yeah, but so I'm so in awe of your truth and your voice. I mean, is like so powerful and layered with such compassion and honesty too. But like honesty and truth, the same thing. But what I'm trying to say is I'm just in awe of this and appreciate you sharing like just such real, just real parts of you that you're experiencing with this big, powerful transformation, because you are, right? Like we're constantly evolving. Mm-hmm. And I'm hearing and seeing you and witnessing you. This is like a really big shift for you from how you've been functioning and living for so long.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's big. It feels good. Scary, but good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
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 And so, good for everybody.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Do you know how like you do stuff and it's like, hey, that feels really good. Sorry you didn't like it. You know, yeah. But this is like, this is good for everybody.
Yeah. Going back to kind of what, you know, my belief is around purpose and us living in our purpose is it's truly being true to ourselves, which is only being of service to other people in a greater, bigger way.
Yeah.
So you're not playing small anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not hiding in the workshop.
Although I have to say that the way in which you phrase really your work around it, like the sacredness of taking, you know, someone's desire to express love through this piece. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I have the chills. Like you have been really beautifully crafting and creating and honoring a part of you like that expresses love and shows love just in a very, you know, matter of fact way through a piece of metal. And now you get to really, you're doing the same thing, transmuting and shifting energy, you know, and just like helping people to integrate that more through your biofuel tuning. So
it's exciting.
It's really exciting.
Yeah. I feel really lucky to have had a life, that allowed me to do both ways.
Mm. Yeah. All that you've learned through that and by yourself.
Yeah.
A lot to celebrate.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It does feel like a celebration.
Yeah.
I'm turning 60 in April, so.
Really? That's so exciting.
Yeah. So it feels like it's, a shift that's.
That's so exciting, I mean.
Yeah, you go from that. I can't remember what thing I read, but, you know, from, I don't know, young to your teenage and then it's different phases of life. Mm-hmm. And so when you get to 60, you start giving back.
I love it. It's like, yeah. And it's like, you're giving back, but you're also giving back to yourself. You're coming back home to you in a whole new way. Yeah. That's incredible.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for just landing in presence with me and sharing from your heart and truth and this has been truly so special. So thanks.
Thanks, Annie. Oh my gosh. So special to me.
Yeah. Thank you. I can't wait to have you back on the pod when you're, after you've written your book about the tree creature.
I love that. Tree creature.
Oh my gosh. So cute. Yeah. Thank you, Irene.
Oh, thank you. So special.